Hi, this Love is Feral Talk
Radio.
Hi, this is Feral Hain from MBAPrepCoach.com. I'm an MBA admissions consultant and a longtime verbal GMAT private tutor. And this is my first episode of this podcast. It was based on popular demand. I received a request to do this from several different sources. So I'm hoping that this podcast might be convenient for those of you who have long commutes and want to get some GMAT preparation time in there while you're in the car or in the train or whatever. So let me know if you would like to call in and if there might be a good time for a live weekly show. I'm considering that idea. And if you'd like to call in and send me questions, I can answer them on the air. So today we're going to be talking about inference questions and inference question strategy. You might be working on the GMAT or the LSAT. You get it down to two answers. You can't see it, right? You just can't understand why your answer isn't correct and why the correct answer is correct. And I was in that exact position myself. I used to be very interested in choosing the answers that were smart, detailed, sounded like something that you would report to your boss, sounded like something that you would report as a consultant. And you know what? That's completely incorrect. And there's a few reasons for that, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. The one that you want to choose is the answer that is so watered down, so wishy-washy, it's basically saying nothing at all, and that's your answer. So you might have encountered this thinking, this sounds ridiculous. Why is this the answer? I can't even understand it. Well, there's a reason for that. The GMAC wants to stay out of legal trouble. So for this reason, any answer that's put forth as true has to be totally indisputable. And so this means, incidentally, it needs to be indisputably vague, right? Vague statements are generally more likely to be true than specific statements. I'll let you absorb that for a moment. So if I were to say it's better to be nice than to be mean, it's going to be super vague, but it's true, right? So there's kind of this idea that it's just if you cast the broad enough net, then it's going to be true. And this strategy is particularly helpful when you're looking at two answer choices that are very similar. One clear, specific, and detailed, like I mentioned, and the other really dialed back. And generally, you might respond to this answer choice with like something like the statement, duh, because you're like, this is super obvious. Well, that's the one. So the thing is, additional details make it less likely to be true, right? They impose more conditions. So if we were to say that, I'm looking for someone who has black hair, that's a broad, right? Broad statement. If I said black hair with freckles and blue eyes, well, that narrows it down greatly, right? But those additional words impose additional conditions. So if I said that I was looking for someone with black hair, I'd get 1,000 responses back. And if I said I want someone who is, you know, black hair, blue eyes, and freckles, that's going to be what, probably like 2 or 3% of that. So the kind of the idea with the GMAT is that they want you to, you want to choose something that's super broad because it has to be true. Okay, so the analogy that I really like to use is called the pyramid of truth. So for those of you who are driving right now, don't draw a pyramid. But for those of you who are not driving right now, draw a pyramid. And on the top of the pyramid, I'd like you to write the words only. And then never. Write the word always. Write the word most. Write the word cannot. And you get the idea, right? Restrictive, narrow, top of the pyramid. And that's kind of the idea, is the visual as far as being restrictive. So these are the kind of answer choices that you want to avoid. And I think you probably have heard somewhere along the line to avoid extreme sounding answers. But it really is kind of more of a philosophy than just an idea of not choosing always and never. It's really kind of this whole idea about making sure that the answer is indisputable. Because, you know, only, never, and always are highly disputable, right? It's very unlikely for always and never to be completely correct. So And it's not even always a never. Sometimes it's even something like most or generally, you know, even stuff like that can get you into trouble. So if you come down to two answer choices and one says most and the other says might, or one says most, the other says some, or something like that, and, you know, if the one that's shorter has less details and more mild, mushy language is the one you want to go with. So one of the things I generally say is only, never, and always are always the wrong answer. Okay, so on the bottom of the pyramid, you want to write down words like may, could, might, some, one, right? Often I see a lot of one, at least one. I'm seeing that more and more on the exam where they say at least one, which is really another way of saying some. And so they used to say some, now they say at least one. It's interesting. And that's because, you know, it's just like the, it has to be true, right? At least one. It's a very minimal condition. So these are very broad, right? Why may or may not? Could or could not? Might or might not? So basically, they claim very little. And in fact, they claim really nothing at all, right? Nothing, because either way, it has to be true. If I said, I may go to the movies with you, or, you know, that means I may or may not. Either way, I've told you the absolute truth. So that's the whole idea behind that, is that they want to make sure that these answers are in fact true. And so they use this language that's just completely loosey. All right. So let's think about, let's think about some of the other exceptions to this. And I wanted to mention this because it's important. I don't want anyone to get confused. As far as choices that say something like which of the following must be false, then that's when you might want to choose something with an extreme sound to it. So it's kind of the inverse of this whole thing. So must be false would be something that would say only or never, always, or even maybe most. So those kind of things can be turned around by must be false. And so I just want to make sure to caution you that if, you know, if that's the case, then this whole entire logic flips around because you're looking for something that has to be false. It has to be false that always blah, blah, blah. It has to be false that only blah, 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 right? It has to be false because it can't be 100% of the time, only and never, are really just kind of generally not true at all. So must be false is definitely the banner they'll fall under. And so that's the main exception whenever you see something about must be false or which of the following can't be true, that kind of thing. That's when you might see the extreme sounding answers and language that we talked about with only, never, and always. But otherwise, you really want to choose the mushy sounding answer, super vague, boring, and watered down, right? Because that is going to cast the broad net, indisputable, and the GMAC is going to be out of trouble for that reason. So I hope that that's helpful to you, and please do get in touch with me at mbaprepcoach.com if you would like to speak about this further and get some help with me. I would love to talk with you, and I will talk to you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.